I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first of many podcasts called the Football Ramble. As a player, Kevin Keegan left the Newcastle pitch in a helicopter in his kit.
That's a great point. Easy.
Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Welcome along to the Football Ramble.
Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Welcome to the second of our special episodes celebrating the 15th anniversary of the Football Ramble. Today I'm joined by Luke and Pete. Hi guys.
Hi.
We put it to you guys, our dear listeners, to tell us some of the bits you've enjoyed the most over the course of the last 15 years. And today we're reliving some of your favourite moments. These are from the last seven seasons on the Ramble. We're going to be taking a journey through football history while we're at it.
Exciting. It's very exciting. You know me, I love a trip down memory lane, Kate.
But you don't have a memory.
No, it's true. Well, exactly. So this is going to be interesting because the only person who's got a worse memory than me is sat to my left.
Correct.
I actually think mine's pretty bad as well.
Heavy lifting coming up from Mason.
Yeah.
No, it's exciting. It's great stuff.
Leicester are champions. Leicester City are champions of the Premier League.
And for the 2015-16 season, we start with four words.
I tell to them, Billy Dean, Billy Don, when they are sleeping, no? And then I buy to them a little bell.
2015-16, Leicester City won the Premier League, their first ever top-flight title in their 132-year history. Amazing scenes after escaping relegation the season before and hiring everyone's favourite friendly Italian uncle, Mr Claudio Ranieri.
Isn't it the same thing with the Champions League where you get a certain amount of medals and you just share them out as much as you can?
No, it's different. It used to be 10, didn't it? And now it's 5. It used to be 10 appearances.
Special dispensation for every single person, including me, who used to work at Leicester City once.
Yeah, you deserve a bit.
Yeah, I deserve a medal.
They couldn't have done it without you. Or Sven.
I look at Pete about Leicester City and I think foundations.
Putting the pocky foundations in.
It wasn't even the Walker Stadium when you were there.
No,
it was Filbert Street. Foundations.
Listen, thank you, Casey Keller. Thank you, Martin O'Neill.
It was very close.
Thank you,
bye.
Robbie Savage.
Yeah. No, he's only not as
I think we can all agree that Pete's done more for Leicester than Robbie Savage has.
Do you think Jim stands by that?
I agree.
Yeah.
I think Pete's done an awful lot more for Leicester than Robbie Savage has.
Yeah.
I think every time...
I put it on the map.
Yeah, I think you have put it on the map. And I think also you've done nothing in since then to undo all the good work.
Exactly.
Actually, that's not true.
I've cemented my history. Yeah. I've cemented my pedigree, I think, with the work that I've done on the Football Ramble and beyond.
I love that season. It was such an exciting season. Mm. Kate, I don't know how you feel about it. Yeah, listening back to that and watching the season at the time. To me, it felt like an incredible journey where at any point throughout the season, you thought, well, this is going to end.
Yeah.
At some point, it's going to fall to pieces and it's going to be great, but it's not going to work.
And it did kind of gas out a little bit. I thought it was kind of like, I thought they were getting to the point where they just could not pick up wins and they were just drawing every match. And I thought I'd never see Wes Morgan being pulled around Jamie Vardy's floor, to be honest.
The whole world lost its mind. The whole kind of football world lost its mind at that time. Yeah. What's your memory of the season?
Well, I mean, clearly the thing that made it likely that they weren't going to be able to hold out is because one of their nearest contenders, or their nearest contenders,
was Spurs.
So my experience of this one is probably slightly different to most people's in terms.
Spurs fans are all just going, yeah, I know what you're saying, but seriously, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine.
It's absolutely
fine.
Yeah,
I mean, if you think Tottenham haven't won the title in a hell of a long time either, so that, I think, would also have been a beautiful moment. However... Mm. I did manage to kind of feel better about it in the end. And it was such a cool story. The thing, like you're saying about the thinking it was all going to fall down. Do you remember when Jamie Vardy had that ridiculous run of scoring in every single game? And you just thought, hey, this surely can't keep happening. You know, he's going to snap. He's going to need a big night out or whatever. But the way they managed to hold it together. And thinking about Claudio Ranieri as well, Pete, it's just... I know some people probably thought it was a bit naff and it was a bit, you know, his chat about pizza and if we get to 42 points and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it was quite endearing at the time because of the magic that they were managing to put. Made it feel accessible, kind of.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think actually, I totally agree. The thing that makes it even better, and of course, the achievement itself is the thing that people remember, and that's right. But the thing that makes it such a grabber of the imagination and the excitement of it was the fact that Ranieri is such a likeable character. Mm. I mean... Obviously, since then, it's not been great.
No.
And it ended in quite a kind of, you know, less than salubrious fashion. But at the time, it just seemed the perfect person for that perfect moment. And the measure of the man when he brought Andrea Bocelli on as well at the end of the season was incredible.
So that moment.
If it was, and some people would say, but it's a pointless question to ask because certain managers that I'm going to mention as examples aren't capable of that anyway. Mm. But if it had been a Pardew or an Allardyce or someone equally as unexpected, I don't think it would have been as good because I think it would have been, people would have been really, start to get really pissed off at how arrogant it would have been and how kind of self-satisfied it was.
Yeah.
But Ranieri comes across as genuinely quite a humble character and a quite idiosyncratic one as well, which British people obviously famously like because of his eccentricities. So that made it, that put even more of a sheen on it for me as well.
Mm. I mean, whatever did happen with Nigel Pearson's son. And then... After all of that, came Euro 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just got better and better.
Good stuff. Yeah. Just really sort of built. It's building blocks, isn't it? Building on the success that Leicester had. England, of course, crashed out to Iceland. Of all of our years covering this fucking game,
what have I said here? I haven't even heard these clips in
this
advance.
This was the lowest of the low. The nadir, Roy's hell. But we can still take it down a peg or two. Don't you worry.
And the final category, as I said earlier, was name a strange occurrence or unusual thing that could have happened during the tournament. It's a bit vague in this one, but just for a bit of fun.
Yeah, I didn't just rush mine out, to be honest. So apologies for mine.
Well, actually...
Shotgun, I don't want to read Pete's on one.
Pete's just simply put, a penis will be seen.
Well, Dan didn't think of anything.
So and you guys said, that's the go-to thing.
And they got the
a penis pops out. If your mind goes blank, there's just dicks everywhere.
Mate, bloody Yogi Love. He was a penis was definitely smelled. A penis was smelled at points. Could have happened.
Still better than your red card. Yeah.
However, Pete technically was right because that Irish fan, he got on top of the car and he whipped his kecks down, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Kid.
So a penis was seen.
Yes.
Who thought out of the 100,000 men, the 100,000 of penises that could have been seen, one was seen?
Yeah.
Pretty safe bet.
I thought it was a meta thing as well because I was like, you know, Roy Hodgson was a bit of a penis, wasn't he, in the end?
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
I think that would have been
stretching.
You could
have played it.
I was very close though. To just getting mine out, just to make the prophecy true.
One of the things that always happens on this show is that Pete is never remembered for anything he says about football.
No.
He's always remembered
correct.
For stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember being at like live shows years after that and people asking me about that exact moment, the classic. But the England Nadir, which you mentioned, Pete, in the intro to that clip.
I was just atrocious.
It was bad. And I can remember, this was around the time I was in the US because my wife was moving to the UK, so I had gone there to help her move, and it coincidentally happened when England were playing Iceland, and so her dad and her brothers and stuff were like, well, England, it's England soccer game, right? So yeah. England are massive, like, we've got to watch it. And they put it on the big screen in their living room. They've got a big screen, like a projection screen. And they got all the family over, and
that's
we sat down
sweet.
And watched it.
They were trying to make you feel
yeah.
welcome.
And England got beaten by Iceland, and they thought it was the funniest thing they've ever seen. They took so much joy and pleasure out of my disgust. It was an incredible experience. But that was, I think, many ways with the ramble, though, you kind of revel in those moments when you're doing the show, right? Because at least it gives you something to kind of dig into.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
Steve McLaren on the telly.
Yeah.
Against exactly. Iceland.
It's been the perfect response. You'd think that, no problem, start again, keep dominating, keep getting pressure on the Iceland back four. The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front, Sigurdsson, who really, Sigþórsson,
oh my word!
But isn't it much easier to do a show when you've got a load of stuff to moan about? I think it is. I don't feel that comfortable celebrating stuff all the time.
Manchester City can confirm that in recent weeks it has commenced and finalised contractual negotiations with Pep Guardiola to become MCFC head coach for the 16-17 Premier League season onwards.
2016-17. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Antonio Conte arrived. Pep Guardiola, the man all peanut head himself, crashed into our lives as well. There was quite a lot of smugness in England when it went a little bit pear-shaped. Come the end of September, Conte was having a bit of a struggle. Pep's man sitting there, Claudio Bravo hologram, looked open at the back. Was it time, though, to give the British managers a chance, was the question.
It's not like Antonio Conte's been managing, you know, Piacenza or something.
No,
and,
yeah.
Oh, right, let's pick him from obscurity and give him the Chelsea job. He won the league repeatedly.
You had your Tim Sherwood. You had him.
Exactly.
And he's Tim Sherwood.
He's set us back, isn't he?
And you all liked him. They all spent their time talking about how much they loved him.
Who's going to be the guy that we put forward as the poster boy for the British managers? Yeah, Tim. We all like Tim. He's a real laugh about the place.
Yeah.
Get your own house in order.
Tim, what have you done?
He might cost me a realistic long-term prospect of getting a big job, but he does get the pints in.
Sam Allardyce had bagged a 100% winning record with England, of course, and David Moyes, was doing an absolutely sterling job at Sunderland. And that's where that all began.
And when I was thinking about answering this question, completely coincidentally, someone on Twitter, @Lebs, got in touch with me and said, I found this funny interview with David Moyes from the 21st of August, which is, as we all know, the start of the season, mm-hmm. with some quotes from David Moyes, and I thought sharing was part of this answer. David was asked whether he thinks they're going to be a relegation battle this season in August.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that suddenly change? I think it will be a relegation battle.
Oh, God.
I don't think you can hide from the fact that it will be the case. People will be flat because they're hoping that something is going to dramatically change. It can't dramatically change. It can't.
Why would that suddenly change? Because of you, David. Because of the influence you can have.
That's
your whole job.
2 weeks into the season. 2 games in. They just lost in Middlesbrough. Admittedly, a poor result. It can't dramatically change. It can't.
He's been proven right, hasn't he?
Yeah.
The joke's on. Yeah. Still on him.
What a prophecy.
Moistradama.
Not even September.
Yeah.
Which would be bad enough.
Why would that suddenly change? Not suddenly. You've got 9 months. You've got 9 months.
You've literally got the whole season.
Always the same for everyone. You've got the whole season. Every manager gets the same. He's planning for a relegation battle in August. He's not even. It's like, you know, Graham Sinise's famous comment when he was Liverpool manager. Don't look at the table till Christmas. Don't worry about it. Focus on your own job. Do what you can do. Pick up as many points as you can. At Christmas, we'll talk about it. Moyes, 21st of August, we're going down.
Yeah.
We're getting relegated.
Also, that didn't work for Mark Fish.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
That's true. Aim high. Aim as high as you can. And if you get a little bit less, then you've done okay still.
So he's
aiming high for him is 18th.
Yeah, he's thinking,
if I aim for relegation
yeah.
and we get rock bottom, that's all right.
And it's happening. Yeah. We can win the backwards.
Bit disrespectful from you guys on mispronouncing David Moyes' name.
And he's also,
the whole way through.
He's also completely rehabilitated himself. Now he's talking to town this season.
Yeah.
People were loving it.
The jokes on
that
you
was,
guys.
That was Marx's version of shoot for the moon, and even if you land among the stars, you know, you'll land among the stars if you fuck it
Which
up.
Which I know for a fact he's got as a motivational quote on the side of his kitchen wall.
On a bit of driftwood.
Yeah.
Lovely
yeah,
stuff.
That he got from H&M. I thought that it was interesting the way Moyes was able to rehabilitate himself this season, because we almost like completely forgot about that he could actually do it.
Mm.
And that stuff he was saying there, I mean, it is a mad thing to say.
Because he looks like, what do we call him, the ferryman?
He looks so dour. He looks so like, I mean, it's funny how football works, because you imagine him and that mindset he was in then and the way he looked and stuff, walking into interview for a job. Well, you'd be thinking, I'm not hiring this guy. That's a fucking Grim Reaper's just walked in.
Have you seen him? He smiles so much this season. Yeah. He's so smiley. It looks weird. It looks like someone stuck one of those, you know, like a filter on Instagram. And like,
oh, yeah.
Well,
he's stuck a little mouth on him.
He's done the honours of West Ham an absolute service, hasn't he? I mean, they were not big fans, the West Ham populace of them, and he really has rehabilitated the setup there.
But this,
not just
this,
himself.
This season, like 16-17, when, as you said earlier, Pete, Guardiola comes in, Conte's Chelsea win the Premier League, and it was, I found that really interesting, chiefly because people in the, what I mean, I don't want to use the term mainstream media these days, because it sounds like you're some kind of mad Matt Letizia conspiracy theorist, but people in the traditional outlets, a lot of them, particularly the tabloid end, were desperate for Guardiola to fail, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were. It's really easy to forget the idea that these days Guardiola is seen as like the crown prince of football, and you know, the heir to Sir Alex Ferguson and all the rest of it. But people were desperate for Guardiola to
couldn't
fail.
Couldn't cut it in England.
They didn't give a shit that he had done loads of stuff in Spain or Germany or whatever. They were like, well, the Premier League's different. It was endless chat about how, well, we're a different breed over here in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And they were quite enjoying the fact that he didn't instantly have success. Now, of course, what came afterwards is there for everyone to see. But also, the one thing we didn't predict, I don't think, because we didn't know him as intimately as we do now, is the fact that he's been managing in the league for a long time. It's just how mad he is.
Yeah,
that's something that showed itself quite slowly, didn't it, over time?
He's not mad, he's a perv. He's a football perv.
He's just
he's
very
huge.
Intense.
Yeah.
So I think he's so intense that the actions that he thinks are reasonable to the rest of us seem crazy.
Mm. Yeah. But his record stands alone, I suppose.
Well, he's much better than us in everything he does.
Well, we've won a few Champions Leagues between us, haven't we?
So. But on the other hand, I've never sweated completely through a jumper. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that season, apart from, well, my unhealthy obsession with tarmacking pensioners. Yeah. You remember that? I don't, but I kind of remember.
I don't want to. I'm stopping myself remembering it properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I the Pep of the, like a really shit Pep? Yeah.
What do you think, Pete?
We were also blessed that season with one of the most outrageous, and we do mean outrageous, Kevin Keegan stories we'd ever heard. Roll the clip.
This is a cracker. This is a cracker. Hello, Gareth. He says, settle down, because it's a good one, and a long one. As masters of Keeganology, I suspect you may know the story of Keegan's 1974 trip to Belgrade already.
I don't. No.
But I only recently discovered it myself, so just in case you don't, I thought I'd share, and I'm so glad you did. In 1974, England were due to play Yugoslavia as part of a European tour, so they flew to Belgrade from Bulgaria, where the last game had been played. At the time, Joe Mercer was caretaker manager, and it was safe to say that his attitude to players' behaviour and state of dress was somewhat informal.
Lovely stuff.
As a result, the plane ride was closer to what you'd expect from a stag do abroad rather than a professional football team, with the players in their best 70s fashion gear and the booze flowing. Although not for young Kevin Keegan, who slept through most of the flight.
Can I just say, I would love to have been on that flight.
Oh, can you imagine?
A little more finery.
Puffing away on cigars.
Yeah. Perm.
Yeah.
Glorious. Everyone's smoking yeah. right down the flight. When they landed, the team discovered that the FA had forgotten that Sofia in Bulgaria and Belgrade were in different time zones, so their Yugoslavian minders weren't quite there yet. While Joe Mercer and the other FA officials went off to try and find them, the players waited in the baggage area. Bored, Alec Lindsay of Liverpool jumped up on the luggage conveyor belt and started mucking about, only to be told to get off by the other players. What they didn't know was that someone had already called security. Keegan, carrying two bags of souvenir pottery from Bulgaria...
You know where this is going.
..had done nothing more than sit down on the metal edge of the conveyor belt when Yugoslav security arrived and dragged him off to a back room. There, in his own words, he was forced to kneel like a prisoner of war while being punched, clubbed and kicked. He was then charged with sexually assaulting a stewardess, assaulting a security guard, disturbing the peace and causing an obstruction.
Life in jail. Life. You got life.
Luckily, by that point, the players had found Mercer and the FA, who themselves managed to find Keegan and alert security as to who he was. The charges were dropped, and an understandably sobbing Keegan was released. Next day, still played in the England game and scored a last-minute equaliser.
Oh.
Peak Keegan.
And then was punched.
Gareth, that was wonderful.
Excellent.
Oh, brilliant.
Say, Gareth, you set Spelsy off.
Oh, yeah, he's done.
Spelsy's done.
Thank you very much for your email. So we'll get
wrong.
To. If you want to get in touch,
you can't
leave it there because Mark isn't ready.
All right, okay, I'll do one more. Tom Hodgson. I'm putting your mic down. Tom, everyone there agreed it was a bloody great game.
I'll be honest, I wasn't listening to that.
a man put a tampon up his nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Good man. Good, yeah. Was it Keegan?
Yeah. No, he wouldn't have put it out there himself.
No.
Was he beaten, kicked and clubbed?
Marcus, yeah. Marcus, clubbed. Marcus, two bags of crockery.
Yeah. All smashed.
Bits.
All smashed. Like a Greek wedding.
The most breakable of all the souvenirs.
Didn't realise until he got home though.
No.
Yeah.
I got you a present.
What do you mean you've left me?
I doubt you'd assault a stewardess.
Oh, never mind.
Wonderful.
Keegan.
We're going to have to get out of here for my sake.
Yeah. Kevin, when you knew that a Kevin Keegan thing was dropping in the inbox, you were very, very happy with that.
Yeah.
And in many ways, Keggy not being a part of the game these days is the loss to all of us, I think.
Did you not have a special... Can we get a peek behind the curtain? Did you not have a special Keegan filter on the inbox?
Pete was in charge of emails back then.
Yeah. It sounds like I was also in charge of people's microphone faders as well, which... What an addition to this studio that would be. Anyway, Pep and Man City soon got into their stride in 2017-2018 and utterly dominated the following season, showing those naysayers what's what. Gareth Southgate's England were also gaining some momentum, but we couldn't dream of what would be coming next.
Eric Dier places the ball on the spot. And England win on penalties! History in itself for this new team!
Oh, the epitome of easy. It felt so easy.
What a stroll.
So I put the penalty in the bottom corner and said, what were you worried about?
Arsene Wenger's last season with Arsenal proved to be a bit of a painful one with the sixth place finish. They dream of that these days, most seasons. Thanks for the memories, Arsene. Thanks for the memories.
Nobody speaks about the performance of Rob Holding. I'm sorry it didn't cost 55 million, so it cannot be good.
There was one man who wasn't going anywhere, though.
Can I fast forward you guys just because I want to get Pete's opinion on it. The quote of the summer.
Here we go.
From the aforementioned Mike Ashley,
yep.
Who we talked about. Well, listen, this will tell you exactly what he is, in fact, spending his money on. He said, I'll just read the quote. Unfettered quote.
Right.
My thing is not to drink regularly. It is binge drinking. I am trying to get drunk.
Didn't he also describe himself as a power drinker?
Like a power lifter.
You forget the context. It was in a court of law.
Yeah. And it was referencing a business meeting which he had to excuse himself from the table in a pub and vomit in a fireplace.
Didn't he go as well? This is the stuff he's happy to talk about.
What's he covering up?
To be honest, Monday through, like Sunday through Thursday, I don't drink at all, but Friday, Saturday, I'm very much in the Ashley camp.
You're a power drinker.
I'm a power drinker.
Yeah.
Me and him, we love you that.
Talk it
out.
Thrash out some business deals.
Yeah, thrash
out. One of you later forgets agreeing to.
Vomit in a fireplace.
I've bought a human sized fidget spinner to play in defence. Shit.
Well, you know, you're the voice of Sports Direct Radio.
Hello, minions. Keep working. If indeed you are working today, 0 hours.
Oh, it is binge drinking. I'm trying to get drunk.
Yeah.
Trying.
Yeah. In his 40s.
He's succeeding.
In his 40s or his 50s.
I mean,
something like that.
It won't matter if he carries on like that.
No.
My goodness.
Again, 2017-18, a penis was seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
Mace, as a power drinker yourself, how do you respond to that? How do you react to that?
I've never been sick in a fireplace.
No, okay.
You'd at least take yourself off to outside or.
She's off to Epsom today, though, so you never know.
Ascot, mate. Royal Ascot.
Yeah. She's off to Royal Ascot.
Putting the word royal in there just to make it sound fancy.
Just to make it all regal. In fact, on the subject of drinking, I was obviously not part of your gang at this stage, and I was. But I was at a thing out in Qatar at this point.
So I was living abroad. So I've got to say, in terms of like the Rambles kind of heritage and how people connect with this, for me anyway, like it was such a kind of sense of home or whatever, like a look into England and a kind of the irreverence that people like, right?
Not five places out there?
Yeah.
No need. Always one.
And you went from a regime at Newcastle, Pete, then, which you were regularly embarrassed about, to one you're genuinely ashamed of now.
Yeah, it's nice to see progression, isn't it?
It's a different negative emotion.
It's not stagnated, has it? It's got worse, definitely.
In 2018-19, we were treated to one of the most remarkable Champions Leagues we'd ever seen. Liverpool's comeback against Barcelona, Spurs' mad win at the Etihad, and their comeback against Ajax. It was an absolute European Super League wet dream.
Just to provide some balance on this, I want to speak for all the people who think that this is the worst thing that can happen. Like, I never thought this nightmare would be real, and it is, Jim, and it's the absolute worst.
The nightmare continues, yeah,
doesn't it?
But from a human point of view,
no.
Okay.
Not even entertaining it. I share no empathy for Jim, you, even if you are a Spurs supporter who is very young or infirm.
Jim's a bit nervy for Arsenal in the Europa tonight. Yeah.
That game I watched on the telly, obviously, with an Arsenal fan.
Oh, right.
And I tell you what, they can be helpful because that guy was totally convinced that we were going to make the comeback the entire game. And of course, I never thought it was unbelievably unlikely, you know. It's just take it to the corner. They're just too naive, astonishingly, which you often connect with Spurs. And he was just convinced, no matter how far into injury time, of it was just incredible. He was just convinced it was going to be us. And so, it was kind of a comfort because, you know, you just, your emotions, watching a game like that, your emotions just all over the shop. They lost the final fairly easily. Okay. Meanwhile, England beat Spain on their own patch in a newly formed tournament called the Nations League with one of the most baffling formats in football history.
Barkley. That's another one for Sterling. No offside. It's a Monday night masterclass for Gareth Southgate and his team.
Did you see it? Did you fucking see it?
Marcus speaking on CNN about England beating Spain reminded me of those adverts you get when people win the postcode lottery.
Yeah.
And they're presented with a big check.
Jeff Brazy around your house.
I just can't believe it. It's going to change my life. Jose Mourinho finally departed as manager of Manchester United, and we gave him the tribute he deserved.
Jose Mourinho, the man who stole the show. You're the special one, and you're dynamo. Whoa, whoa.
Jose Mourinho.
We
you're
love
special,
you, Jose.
We love you. You're welcome back anytime. Jack Grealish and his magnificent calves guided Aston Villa to the Premier League while Marcelo Bielsa was caught in the bushes outside Derby's training ground. Yes, that actually happened. Double take when I read that earlier. And all the while, one of the best Premier League title races ever took dramatic turn after dramatic turn.
Shaqiri's take. Up the goal! It's in! It's Divo Origi! An absolutely massive goal for Liverpool!
And have a crack. He's getting closer. Oh! Manchester City with a massive goal, the breakthrough, at last.
VAR would finally get its claws into the Premier League in 2019, meaning armpits were still being called onside and Mike Dean was still the main man. But for one man, it definitely came a year too late. Charlie Austin went on quite the rant about the standing of refereeing back in November 2018, much to our amusement.
Thank you very much.
Southampton became the unlikely side to end Arsenal's unbeaten run.
They did.
It's very true, Pete. It's very true.
You sound a bit like Marcus then, Pete.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
But not as good. Just kidding. Just more northern.
Better.
Not as sober. Carry on. Carry on, Peter.
No, come on.
Danny Ings and Charlie Austin scored the goals.
They did
Charlie
score
Austin
the goals.
Charlie Austin scored a nice one at the end. Completely unmarked. Header. Lovely.
Yes. It's a joke.
That mark, it was a joke.
They're unbeaten for 22 games.
Did you see him talking to the keeper at the end, though? Sort of going, and the keeper's going, this close. I was this close, that bloody thing.
Was he?
Yeah, they were being really friendly about it. I quite like that.
I wanted him to just kind of get a little toe on. Sorry, Jim, I just gave you a little toe there. Sorry, as mate. I was acting it out. I wanted him to just nudge one in off the toe and at the end say, it's a poke! It's a poke! Yeah, we haven't that?
I like him to go and look at the egg 11
and go, it's a yoke. It's a yoke.
I'm a bloke.
Or
do the build up.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a bloke. I'm a bloke.
Yeah. To step in a Twitter argument and someone saying, why are you getting involved? Going, I'm woke. I'm woke.
Exactly, yeah.
Are you having a Pepsi? It's a Coke. I'm on Blue Peter. I'm Noakes.
Wow.
Is that jazz music? It's folk. It's a folk. There we go.
There we are. Right, back in. Yeah, Southampton's first home league win since April.
Why aren't you having a shower? I fancy the soap. That's enough now.
Why are you really slow on the football pill? I've been having a toke.
I love it when Luke's got one more and he goes, right, that's enough, move on.
Yeah,
no.
I've had my say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry, the one thing that people need to know about this, because obviously these are listener selected clips, but the reason this annoys Pete so much, Kate, I don't know if you know this, is that he absolutely hates puns.
Yeah.
He used to spend years rallying against us using puns. It's not clever, it's not funny to do puns.
But once I'm in, I'm getting involved.
You've got to get involved. Yeah. I've got to say, guys, this might be one of my, that would have been one of my picks probably, because I know we obviously went out to listeners to do this,
yeah,
and I could have voted still at this point, right?
Yeah, we all could,
because I remember sitting trying to, and this is the joy of the ramble to some degree. I remember it kept going back. That's, you know, went on far too long. That, yeah, which is the always. Joy of it. That's why you're pissing yourselves by the end. Mm. And I was trying. I found it so funny that I was trying to play it to a friend of mine, and it's fucking ludicrous to play something like that to people who don't listen to the ramble. Don't know what the fuck's going on.
So
it's just like the people just like. All right, yeah, funny.
I like how you said, like, you couldn't get involved now. Like, our system isn't that stringent that we wouldn't allow an errant friends and family vote, for crying out loud.
At one point in there, you just went, it's a bloke. Like, you didn't even do the build-up.
I can't be arsed for them.
No, I'm not arsed for them. And that shows,
but I'm amazing at them.
This disdain you've got for puns generally.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Well, moving on to 2019-20. In the summer of 2019, the Football Ramble became Football Ramble Daily, with our twice-weekly ramble supplemented by Ramble Meets on the Continent, Jules and Andy, and much more for your listening pleasure. On the pitch, though, the season started like any other. Liverpool and Manchester City were battling it out at the top of the Premier League again. Watford started working their way through 4 managers, and to Luke's immense joy, Southampton got beaten 9-0 by Leicester.
That was in the Roland Holder, we can't talk about this. I don't fucking care. That was amazing. And the reason it was amazing because we were doing a live show on that night.
This is your Ajax in Tottenham, isn't it?
Kate, we were doing a live show
in Newcastle,
right? Yeah. Peaks, one of Peaks, kind of, a lot of Peaks people there.
Mum and Dad were there.
Yeah, and we were on stage while the game was happening and people were shouting out, it's six! Yeah! It's seven! Yeah! And we were going, we want 10! We want 10! It was one of the best nights ever doing this job.
A record that has stood for decades. Jamie Vardy can add Leicester's name to it. Here he comes! He scores! And Leicester City have 9 and have equaled Manchester United's record for the biggest ever Premier League win.
But soon there were much bigger fish to fry. March 11th saw the last game in England for 3 months. Liverpool's 3-2 defeat at Anfield to Diego Simeone's Atletico. Football seemed suddenly so fragile, so unimportant in the grand scheme of things. It eventually resumed and Liverpool were at last able to clinch a top flight title 30 years and one lockdown in the making. And it was all changed here at the Ramble as well. Kate, Vish, Jules and Andy joined us. And from June, the show was recorded every single weekday. And during lockdown, we had to think of some new content, a way to pass the time for us and our listeners. Well, we watched Goal 3. Yeah.
Which was your fucking fault, Donaldson.
Correct. Pete's Film Club.
Lads, I'm so sorry. I'm really... This is the worst thing I've ever done and we've been doing this for 12, 13 years.
Yeah,
so bad.
I mean, I was. This is the closest I've come to being personally affronted by something someone else has asked me to do. And
yeah,
at least Soccer Dog had a dog in it. I'll say that. A dog that deserved better, but a dog nonetheless.
It annoys me beyond belief, Kate, that in that period of time, we had a lot to worry about and, of course, there were bigger problems. But in the context of the show, Pete had the power to genuinely ruin my week.
Yeah.
Even though there's just nothing else on. It's only 1 minute 36, that. I've just looked it up, goal 3.
1 hour 30.
1 minute. Which is like
fucking was
1 minute 36 would have been too long.
But the thing was, he would pick a film, like, for example, goal 3. By that point, I knew it would be shit. Mm. I knew that I should just get it out of the way as soon as I could. Mm. But I couldn't watch it too early in the week because it is against my principles to take notes on goal 3. Yeah. I had to watch it close to the recording.
So you could remember.
And so I could remember it. And it would weigh on my mind like a piece of homework. It was awful.
The thing is, that whole. The thing I enjoyed most about that feature was Luke, you would sit through what felt like, I think it was a 2.5 hour Bollywood film.
It was longer than that. It was three hours long.
A very, very long film, even with skipping. But it would upset the Michael Owen of the show, Marcus Bellamore.
For kids, but it's also just an hour and 20 minutes, so wind it in, Lukey.
It was so crap that words fail me. To be perfectly honest with you, lads, when I watched this film, I think because I've accepted our fate in this film club, I actually thought it was okay. And the reason why I thought it was okay is because my expectation levels are so low, I couldn't wait for it to finish.
So there was that. And we did watch some good films, but yeah, Goal 3 was...
I don't think we watched any good films.
Oh, we did. We watched that Portuguese one, that was like based around a Cristiano Ronaldo figure
who was going
a bit mad, who could see... he was going on his game because he could see massive pink dogs.
That was the kind of film that pretentious people say is good. So
good.
In retrospect,
I probably
did quite enjoy
it. Really solid stuff.
Look at him, you know I don't watch films.
There were some good films in there, Playing for Keeps.
That was so bad as well.
And we were in a situation where...
You didn't even do Bend It Like Beckham or any decent ones, did you?
Too obvious.
Why not?
Too obvious, Kate.
Too good.
And you're looking at something like Goal 3 that was filmed mainly on green screen. All the football bits were... it looked like I'd done them on After Effects. It was so bad.
It wasn't that good,
Well,
mate.
Maybe that's a project we could send your way.
Yeah. I'd love to do
Goal
that.
Goal 4.
Yeah.
Pete's film club of films that he's made. 2021, then, was a season like no other for lots of reasons. Apart from Andy's cardboard cutout family at Plough Lane.
Oh, he never sees them.
There was barely a fan in sight at the stands until the last stirrings of the club season. All you could hear was Martin Tyler's heavy breathing. To be completely honest, the football sometimes felt a bit hollow and joyless that season and as though it was being played in a swimming pool. But boy, was it a great distraction to know that every weekend we could still all cling to a familiar ritual. And there were some absolutely mental results as well.
We've done so much hard work to get to this stage. McGinn, don't think the scoring's over. Should be number 7 here. Jack Grealish, surely on that. This one, the skipper! Yes! Aston Villa in 7th heaven against Liverpool. Captain Jack.
Harry Kane will step up to take the penalty. Remember the scenes. Remember the scoreline. Spurs have 6 at Manchester United.
And we were able to have some fun ourselves, by the way.
Anyway.
On a serious note, though, Andy, you've obviously spent a lot of time in France talking to French footballers, and of course Thierry Henry came through the Clairefontaine Academy.
Yes.
I remember the piece you wrote a couple of years ago with Vikash Dorosu, the footballer, about how Clairefontaine doesn't just work with on-field discipline. It also kind of concerns itself with the grounding, with the dealing with like the media as well, obviously, because there's a lot of focus when you're at the Clairefontaine Academy. So with all that in mind, do you think this is the sound of my dog eating a carrot, or is it me? Is that a dog eating a carrot, or is it me?
Dog.
Answer the question, Andy.
Dog, I already did dog.
What?
Dog.
How did you know it was a dog?
It's a dog, you can tell.
Right, right. Here's the sound of the dog.
Here we go. Yeah, it's quicker, it's quick.
Right, here's me eating a carrot.
No, you're hamming it up.
Yeah, the dog's also got a lot of different breathing sound as well.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like breathing.
I should have eaten like this.
Yeah, like a little rabbit. Like a little rabbit.
What I love about that with Brass is, did you notice how he'll answer any question you put to him, the whole world, and he'll treat you with respect and sympathy, whatever you come up with. Yeah. So when you're doing your, it sounded very convincing to someone like me and Luke, but presumably you'd missed the point at some stage in your summary of whatever it was, his thing that he'd written. Yeah. And he was just doing those very Brassel, like, yeah. Yeah, nice one. Like, you know,
thanks for researching my history.
To me, it felt like he was just saying that, but in his mind, he was going, finally, a great bit of football chat to get stuck into. You know,
at last!
Waiting for years, I agreed to do this ramble. Anyway, that was personally my favourite of mine as well, and requested by popular demand from our listeners. So great stuff. Listen, I'm delighted to be able to say, after that came the Euros. The sun was out, the fans were back, and England were winning again, and they were even beating their oldest rival of all.
Oh, 4-3 to go, and here we fucking go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England's tried on, and we'll face Ukraine in Rome. It's Wednesday, 30th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vinicius Antaraja.
Easy. Luke Moore, can I have a good in there?
Get in there!
Oh, it's always pleasing to keep a clean sheet, ladies and gentlemen.
A platform.
Start from the back and build.
Build, exactly. Oh, build.
Build, pun intended.
Another outlet's probably covering this game.
Ladies and gentlemen, England beat Germany 2-0. As if you didn't know.
Yep.
As if you didn't ruddy well know. Come on. Come on.
This is great stuff.
We dicked them.
How's your aunt, by the way?
Oh, she's gone. She's not gone.
She's gone.
She's dead.
You see what I'm pleased about it?
Oh, dearie me. It's only the second round. We're in the quarterfinals.
Good job we're not among the players, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Fuck it. Find a late doors pub.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rome, nah. We only play at Wembley. Yeah. So we'll forfeit the game. We got what we came for.
We could have made this whole show just us reliving the Euros. Man. Why don't we do that?
That was good, wasn't it?
Oh, man. So beautiful. So many emotions. Mainly good emotions. And when can you say that in your life, Luke?
Ended in defeat again, didn't it? I could say that in my life quite a lot. It's crazy to be on the show.
It was
show
a draw, actually. It was a fucking draw. Yeah.
An Italian man pulled me back.
Yeah. I think doing the show after those kind of games is really it's like the most example, the biggest example in my personal kind of employment where it's like complete shit or bust. Mm. Like, if England were to lose against Germany, you just don't want to come in. You don't want to do it. You always do and you have to do it, and it can be quite cathartic, but you just don't want to do it. And then as soon as England win, if they win in one of these kind of games, you're literally like, get me in there now. I want to get in there now.
I want to
wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting how it kind of works out. And there's been so many, and our listeners have shared all these with us, of course, there's been so many disappointments over the years. Like we talked about Iceland earlier. And, you know, in many, many, many respects, the Ramble was actually formed out of a...
misery.
Yeah, a bit of England misery and stuff. So, I mean, it's kind of runs through the veins of the Ramble as a show, I suppose. So it's kind of, yeah, it's an interesting situation. But that game was incredible because England was... It wasn't a case of... We've just come up the other side of a ding dong with Germany, and for once we were on the. It was like a properly controlled, much better performance, which felt so different, didn't it?
I'm glowing.
Basking in the reflective glory.
It's like we've opened like a dusty old box, and it's like, oh, that smells like the past.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
And I think England have got an opportunity here. And at the time of recording of this, that you know they're in a bit of a wobble in the Nations League, and we don't know what's going to happen in the World Cup later this year. But I mean. Part of me's tempted to say if they don't capitalise on this potential in this World Cup, it'll be really disappointing. But at the same time, really, we've got the best England team probably, I think it's probably now, certainly on paper and maybe in reality as well, better than World Cup 90. There's a certain amount of luck involved World Cup 90. Yeah, we haven't got time for that now, but it was a little bit different.
That was pre-Ramble, would you believe?
Well, yes, it was. I was 9. So imagine some of my opinions then. Probably better than some I've got now in many ways. So I think it's
less
been,
offensive.
My upbringing was very tough. Those moments we've already internalised them, so look, you can't take those away from us now, and that's been a great thing. And Kate, you're a massive England fan, so you must feel the same way. What was it like to do the show during the Euros? You must have really enjoyed it.
I loved it. I mean, I think to include what you just said about not wanting to come in and wanting to come in, it was I was mainly doing the shows on the day, like the preview shows, effectively, on the day. Of the games, and then Marcus was doing the ones on the day off. So I felt it's not helpful to do a whole show and then go and watch a game because you just spend the whole day. I mean, I suppose at least it used up time, right?
Yeah,
instead of just been sitting around.
At least
pajamas.
You can share it with the community.
And everyone and most people. I mean, you guys are a bit more restrained. I guess you've lived longer than I have, and you're a bit less like cock a hoop every time we won. Not obviously in these cases, but you were a bit more steady in some ways in your day to day life, whereas. No one else was wearing like 10 England shirts every single recording. And I respect that. I mean, on the subject of the final, after we lost, we talked, hadn't we, about us all just, if we won, about us all just sitting down, the 8 of us, and having a big chat on the following day.
Yeah.
And when I was at that game, I felt like I was sad I wouldn't then get to talk about it with you guys.
Yeah.
But then when the morning came around, I was like, fuck me, I'm glad someone else is doing this job.
Yeah, definitely. It was a mad thing, because I don't know if you remember, Pete, it might have been even before your time, but I remember Marcus and I joking that we'll do the Ramble until England win a tournament.
Mm.
And I thought, hang on a minute, England won't actually win one. I can't have to wrap it up. Obviously, I let us down in the end, so we didn't have to.
And that, guys, brings us to this season, the return to some kind of normality. What kind of stand-up moments have been from this season for you, Pete?
Arsenal being back in a huge way.
Is that the first thing you thought of? You're a Newcastle fan.
No. I mean that was notorious what happened. I think
just off the top of your head, Pete.
She said stand-up moment. She said good moment.
I think if we wanted you to break it, if we wanted you to break it down for us.
I think I think Christian Eriksen
lock off some ideas about
Lazarus of Bethany sort of act.
Oh,
I think it's a great shout. It's an astonishing turnaround from what we experienced in the Euros. There's probably an argument to say that his return to football and his return to Jesus living is probably will probably mean that there's more defibrillators, more CPR training around the world.
What's his reward going to be?
Tottenham. A big money move to Newcastle.
I think he might end up at Manchester United, which is the least.
I want to believe.
Yeah, it must be tricky for a footballer like if you're like Eriksen, because you're thinking this Man United. Is a dumpster fart at the moment, but they're stupid enough to pay me so much money. Do you know what I mean? So,
but if you're happy, if you're just like joyful to be alive, maybe you should just go wherever you play.
True,
best and most and funnest football.
So not Man United.
No, not Man United.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Do you feel like since what you've been through, you'd like to quite like to win as many games as possible?
Yeah.
cannot point you away from Old Trafford
play in the second division of the Netherlands, where they play like shouting from the throins and all mad new rules and stuff.
Yes, get to the second division of the Netherlands.
For me, the standout moment has to be, and I think it would be remiss of us not to mention this, I think, is how good Liverpool Man City are. I think they've raised the standard, they've raised the bar, their consistency is like phenomenal, really. And I think it's very easy to be battered into submission about how good they are and just think of it as being part of the furniture. But ultimately, I do think we'll look back in maybe another 15 years at these two teams and think, my goodness me, how good were they? You know, because they have really set a whole new standard. And you know, 100 points and all the rest of it. I think that's an incredible thing for us to be around to witness. In many ways, it's quite hard to cover on the show because it's hard to think of new things to say. But at the same time, you have to understand you're witnessing greatness. And I think, obviously, with Erling Haaland coming in at City, strap yourselves in, man, because that is going to be absolutely devastating.
He's going to be man-spreading all over the goal table, isn't he?
But who's going to stop him? You can't blame him. He's a product of his environment. He's been mansplaining his whole life, man-spreading everywhere, because there's no one to stop him. So that'll be interesting to watch as well. But I think Liverpool Man City over the last few seasons, magnificent to watch. You have to really respect it.
Well, we have to set up for this coming season as well and say that the key moment for me, certainly, and I'm sure for many people who want to watch the team that are going to win the title next season, might say that Antonio Conte being appointed
could be a massive moment. Or he could storm out and a half towards the end of the transfer window because he's got none of the players that he wants. It's going to be one thing or the other.
I don't think so, Lukey. It's a different one. You know, like we were saying about when we're talking about England games and the Euros, you guys tend to be a bit more level and a bit more like, you know, having the long view and things like that. With our own teams, I don't know how it's so different for you at the moment, Pete.
But you can't cheat your nature. You're an Antonio Conte. You're a up and down and all over the place, and that's a good thing.
It leads to Burnley and I resign, and then I come back the next fucking day ready to go, sleeves rolled up. And indeed we are, sleeves rolled up for the next 15 years, boys.
Probably not quite that long, but maybe a little bit longer.
I'll ask me doctor.
I guess in terms of retirement, there's no chance any of us are going to be anywhere near retirement ever.
We've got to pass the baton on to the next generation of amazing football broadcasters who actually know what they're doing. That would be... I'm not saying that we are amazing.
That makes us sound...
You know what I mean, though? We've got to pass on the baton.
We've got to find the baton first.
Yeah, find the baton.
Find the enchanted baton.
Yeah, exactly. Ultimately, this story isn't about us, the story is about the listeners and how... appreciative they've been on the show and how well they've supported it, so we have to thank them.
Yeah,
it's all about them, really.
It's been really cool, Pete, to see all the guys writing in with it. Must be mad for you guys seeing stuff talked about from 15 years ago that people
were surprising because we don't remember it. Like,
yeah,
13 years ago that you of your life and of the mad takes that you have made.
It makes me feel like Ozzy Osbourne. I don't remember any of that.
You're in worse nick than Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I don't even have a Sharon to look after me.
Sharon!
But yeah, I think thank you so much. We just wanted to say thank you to all of our listeners for listening.
Yeah.
For chatting to us on the internet and in real life and for sending in all of these suggestions for these little roundup shows of 15 years of the Ramble. So thanks for listening to us.
Thank you.
And stick with it.
Thanks very much indeed. Yeah, and we'll see you again soon. If you've enjoyed it, then let us know at footballramble@hotmail.com. or myspace.com/footballramble. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, weather permitting.
Cheer up, yeah.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we'll all look forward to talking to you then. Cheers.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.